One of my little problems. Okay. Angelology. And where do we get angelology? Well, it comes from the word angel in Greek. I'll get it here in a minute. Angelos, which simply means messenger. So angel is the word that we get from it. Messenger. It's translated messenger in some places in the Bible, particularly in the more modern versions. To the messenger of the church of Laodicea, I write. And to the messenger of the church at Smyrna, I write. And the King James says to the angel of the church at these particular places. So, I didn't give you your outline, did I?
Oh my goodness. I didn't have time here. By the way, I just had to have another book here. Angels by Billy Graham. This is a classic book on angels. It goes through everything that we'll go through for a dollar. I brought it so y'all have first choice, but I'm going to put it on the bookshelf over here. I paid $15 for it. So. That's page one.
And we may not get to page two, but we'll start with page one. And I didn't have time to staple them together, so. I'm just giving you one page at a time because, you know, that means if you don't come back next time, then you don't get the second page or the third page or whatever it is. Okay, angelology, the study of angels. The question, of course, is always asked, are angels and demons and devils the result of superstition? Are they from sheer ignorance? Are they objective reality? Are they real? You know, 50 years ago, there wouldn't have been a lot of debate, but the angel craze has taken over since then. Everybody has an angel, you know. They look their angel for guidance and all this malarkey. Well, they don't know, see, that there are good angels and that there are evil angels. They don't know that. And so the evil angels are having a heyday in our day. They're playing with people's minds. And everybody thinks they have an angel. Unfortunately, it's not the angel that they want. I remember when my girls were very small and we had taught them about angels. And one night we were driving to or from Houston, I forget which, and Joanna was in the back seat. This must have been where the twins are too. Joanna got to ask her mother about angels. Mom, are there angels outside the car? Yeah. Mom, are there angels inside the car? Well, yeah. Mom, are there angels in the back seat with me? Well, yeah, probably. You know, we have Gordian angels. And then we taught them about the yucky angels. See, there are holy angels and there are yucky angels. There are good angels and there are evil angels. Everybody needs to know about that. Because the yucky angels are the ones that do Satan's bidding. And they're the ones we don't want to have anything to do with. And they're the ones that people are getting mixed up with today because their delight is to deceive, particularly believers. And so they're deceiving the world. They are an objective reality. They do really exist. And the Bible is clear on that. In fact, the first blank on your paper there, the word angels appears, guess how many times in the Bible? 273 times. 273 times. You want to write that down in that blank? 273 times in the Old and New Testament. It covers all the ages, all the dispensations, all the periods of time. And they're particularly prevalent at different times during the ages, but they are spoken of in all the ages. Interestingly enough, Jesus spoke of the angels as real. He spoke of the real existence of angels. That's the next blank. See, there are psychiatrists and psychologists and liberal theologians and everyone else. I was reading this thing about John Shelby Spong. Have any of y'all ever heard of John Shelby Spong? He is an Episcopal bishop of New Jersey. And he tries to destroy every doctrine of the Bible and still call himself a Christian. So he says all this is just a result of embellishments by the apostles and right, making it look like Jesus was glorious and his birth was glorious. Jesus' birth was no different from any other man's birth. The virgin birth is laughable. And blah, 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 blah. Is that the expression today? But Jesus said they were real. And you know what? I'd rather follow Jesus. I take his position any day over these guys. C.S. Lewis said, some so-called biblical scholars can read, can understand more that's between the lines than they can the lines themselves. So, you know, if you can understand the lines, that's what you need to do, not to look for something under them, something that perhaps even isn't even there. John MacArthur says this. Oh, wait a minute. Do angels exist? The evidence of the angels, or four probably would be better on your paper there, is overwhelming. So the word there is angels. John MacArthur says that there are millions of beings occupying the universe, mingling among the affairs of men. You see that partial statement on the paper. Hebrews 13:2, which is probably the most familiar verse on the angels, says that be not cautious to entertain strangers, whereby some have entertained angels unawares. Have you heard that verse? Hebrews 13:2. So, you know, we're to be given to hospitality. We're to be hospitable. And there may even be opportunity for you to be hospitable to an angel. I've heard story after story of people who actually believe that they have entertained angels in this way. I have to tell you, one of my aunt and uncle, very godly people, Pentecostal in fact, he was a lay preacher. And one night at their church, they said, at their little Pentecostal church, I remember that little church to this day, a man came, and they said he was immaculate in his dress. His suit, his shirt, his tie, everything was immaculate, but they were threadbare. And they said he asked the pastor for permission to speak that night. Of course, unlike our church, they said, sure. We would never in a million years do that. We got to know your doctrine. We got to know what you believe. We got to know who you are. We got to know your background. We got to do a credit check and all the rest of it. We got to do all this before we're going to let you preach here, for sure. But anyway, Pentecostal folks. So he preached, and they said his message was just blew them away. So afterwards, my aunt and uncle said they invited him to stay with them and ask him, I guess, if he had a place to stay. No. So their bedrooms were upstairs. I spent the night in those bedrooms many times. And there were three bedrooms upstairs. And so his bedroom was the guest room. Their bedroom was on the other side and then another bedroom. So the next morning, my aunt and uncle got up. My uncle was a carpenter. He went to work. He was a carpenter for a big company. He went to work. So my aunt was there, and she waited for breakfast for her guest. He never appeared. And that's a good word, appeared. He never showed up. She finally went up to his room. It's like no one had ever been there. And she really believed that they had entertained an angel unawares. I don't know. Could be. Have you heard anybody heard a story like that? Where have you been? Of course, I've been here 50 years. I guess that's one of them. Yeah, I heard that occurring. And another story, I had a friend, Charlie Pools. Here, some of y'all know him. Charlie Pools was coming from Houston one day. Said he picked up a hitchhiker. And they just had wonderful fellowship, and they got somewhere around Wilder or somewhere, you know, and stopped. I don't remember all the details, but stopped at a filling station. And he came out after he'd gone in, and the fellow was gone. They had great fellowship. He looked everywhere for him. He was a hitchhiker. Never saw him again. Oh, man. My wife and I have threatened to write a book on this subject because we have so many stories like that. Well, let's get back to your paper here. I've got John Payton. Let me just share a few of these with you. I have his biography, which is quite exciting. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides, who were headhunters. They were cannibals. And early in their ministry, they had just he and his wife. Where's New Hebrides? Does anyone know? Is this over by New Guinea or somewhere? Little island. They had established a little building there, headquarters. And one night, the Indians came, the natives came surrounding. And they were going to burn and kill the missionaries. And John Payton said there was nothing that he and his wife could do, no where they could go. And so they just prayed. And the natives left. And a year later, the chief became a Christian. The chief of the headhunters became a Christian. And so John asked him, why did you not kill us that first night? And the chief said, because of all those big men in white, shining clothes with swords, that's why we didn't kill you. We were afraid and we ran. And John said, there's only my wife and I. There was no one else there. Again, a story that I've heard over and over again about big soldiers in white surrounding God's children. The angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, the psalmist said. And we don't take into consideration the ministry of angels. You know what Hebrews says? It says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Do you know that you got some extra weight on your side? You got some extra help on your side. And we very seldom... Now, it's clear from Scripture we're not to worship or pray to angels. But we got some extra help there. And it's a great thing to know. These other stories we'll just skip. Don't have time for them. We'll go to the origin of angels. They're created beings. Again, this is very important. They're created beings. And because they are created beings, they are limited. That's the next space. They are limited in what they can do. They are limited in their function and power. Colossians 1:16, Nehemiah 9:6, Psalm 148, 1-5. Somebody want to read Colossians 1:16 for us? And maybe somebody Psalm 148. We'll look at some of these verses that are important with this regard. By the way, Psalm 91:11 says that God will give his angels charge over thee. Psalm 91:11. You want to keep all these verses, underline them. Hebrews 13:2, Psalm 91:11, Colossians 1:16 is there on your paper. Who wants to read Colossians 1:16? Done.
For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers.
Okay.
All things were created through him and for him.
Do you see angels in that verse? Where are they? Everything in heaven that's created, invisible. Angels are spirits. So we have the reference to their creation in that verse, right? About Psalms, Psalm 148, 1-5, I'd like to read that. John, you hear that?
Nehemiah.
Go ahead. Read now. Nehemiah. Nehemiah.
Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of the heavens, with all the hosts, the earth, and all the things that are in it, the seas, and all that are in them. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee.
Okay. So he's created it all. There's a host in heaven. There's an army in heaven of spiritual beings, of spirit beings, of angels. And these angels, God has created for a purpose. And one of those purposes, of course, is to protect us, to minister to us who are heirs of salvation. Psalm 148, let's read that, 1 to 5.
Okay. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him all the angels, praise ye him all the hosts. Praise ye him sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light. Praise him ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
Okay, again, we're talking about the creation of angels. They are created beings. Therefore, they are not omnipotent, omniscient. They are not all-powerful, all-knowing beings. They are limited. Satan is what? An angel in his creation. Lucifer was his name in eternity past. He's a created being. And this should cause us to not stand in awe of him as some do and as we sometimes do, because he is a created being. Like I say, he can only be at one place at a time. And when you say the devil made me do it, well, you can see that's not true at all, because he can't be with you and with me at the same time. But his ministers do, his demons do his bidding. And so all these crazy movies that you see about Satan and demons, you know, I just blow it off, because it's just a bunch of malarkey. It's not true at all to Scripture. Again, they were created long before man. Job 38, verses 4 to 7. Somebody like, well, we'll just pass that. We don't have time. So that, number two, the blank, is man. Number three, they were created prior to creation, in eternity past, before God created the heavens and the earth. Again, Job 38. They referred to in the beginning as the sons of God, Ben Elohim, in Job chapter 1. Ben Elohim sang when God created the world. That's an interesting thing in light of the five martyred missionaries. They sang when God created the world. So that's in Job chapter 1. B, Satan was one of their number and has access to heaven. Again, Job chapter 1. The scripture says that he has access to heaven, and that he goes there to accuse the brethren. And that means any time you sin, he may go before the throne of God and say, look at Tony Magana. He has been in sin. Yeah. And he doesn't deserve to go to heaven. But you know who our defense attorney is? According to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he goes before the throne and says, I've shed my blood for him. And with that, Satan's case is thrown out of the court. He's never won a case, and he never will. So you don't have to fear when he takes you before the throne of God and accuses you before the brethren, because we have a defense that is unbeatable. He is our defense. So, and I can't give you all of the addresses to all of that. I mean, but take my word for it.
Page 2. Moving on along here.
Page 2. We only have 4 pages. I'll tell some of my stories next time. The nature of angels. First, they do not increase or decrease. Jesus said, when we get to heaven, we're going to be like the angels, which means not married, not having children. In fact, it's interesting that the Bible always refers to angels in the masculine. See you. Now, I don't mean to be prejudiced or chauvinist or anything else, but that's just the way it is, ladies. There are no lady angels. And there are no baby angels. As many as we have seen in February. And baby angels, cherubs, shooting their little bows and arrows. I remember there was a picture in the first church, one of the first churches that I pastored. Beautiful picture with a lady angel holding the hands of two little children going across a bridge across a river. Big wings. Angels as a creation really are not even said to have wings. Did you know that? Only two categories of angels are said to have wings. You remember who those are? Cherubs and seraphim. Isaiah 6. So, know this. Whenever angels are mentioned, they are mentioned in the masculine gender in the Bible. There are no feminine angels. And so, I took that picture down to the chagrin of the congregation. I didn't think it really was quite true. But I didn't know that some famous member of the church way back when. Do you remember this, Teresa? Teresa was in that church. I've been Teresa's pastor on and off since she was about 5, I think. How old? 3. So she knows all my stories, all the bad and all the good, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I took that down as well as enough. We had a clock on the wall. Maybe I shouldn't be saying all this on tape. Anyway, I got in trouble. And my counsel to younger pastors ever since then has been, when you go to a church the first year, don't do it. Don't change anything. Don't change a thing. Just, you know, wait till they love you. And then you can change whatever you want to, and it won't make a bit of difference. But don't do it the first year. But they don't usually follow my advice, but anyway, I tell them that. B, there are no baby angels. No pudgy, fat, little baby angels. Does that hurt you? You know, when you get to know the Bible and you read the Bible, you begin to, all these myths begin to get blown away. And in fact, Christmas is the greatest season of the year to destroy myths about Christmas. I love to do that. Yeah. Like, for instance, the angels appeared to the wise men, right? To the shepherds. The wise men never even got wind of that. Probably until 2 years later when they got here and they didn't come to the manger. They came to the house where the young child, not the babe, lay. See how messed up we are about Christmas? Nobody sends me a Christmas card anymore. Because every year at Christmas I go through all of this, Don, and everybody's afraid to send me a Christmas card. We got one that has a little donkey and a little lamb on it, and a crib, I think.
John MacArthur yesterday made his whole program Christmas.
Who is that?
John MacArthur.
Good for John. Somebody needs to do it. We don't want to remain ignorant all our lives. And, you know, and this is the, you know, the world has a view of Christmas. Of course, most of that's Santa Claus. But they do also have a messed up view of what they think the Bible says about it. And Randall will tell you, and he'll rebuke me, John, Dr. John Randall Price, that, you know, this is just the artist's conception. He's just trying to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay? But it is to rest Scripture. It is to distort Scripture. It is to tell a different story from what the Scriptures tells us. And so that, to me, that's important to tell it like it is. Even if it messes up your Christmas story. Now, I really am hesitant to do this at the nursing home because it can almost be traumatic at that age and at that place to destroy the myths of Christmas. But anyway, it's fun. C, there are no female angels. We talked about that. D, there are always masculine in gender. E, they do not marry or procreate, do not increase or decrease. God created them all in total before this world was created, every one of them that there will ever be.
My favorite is when you die, you become an angel.
Yeah. When you die, you become an angel.
Genesis 6.
Genesis 6 is another story. But it's a good story. It seems like. I believe they were, yeah. And that's, my daughter wrote a paper about like this. My oldest daughter, Johanna, who will be here this afternoon, by the way, from San Francisco. About this thick on the angels of Genesis 6. And she comes to the conclusion that and this is a big theological debate. She comes to the conclusion, and she's not a theologian, but she stated quite hard that they are angels, and that's, I'm in agreement with that they left their first estate, and this seems to be the angel that Jude 6, verse 6, is speaking of, as well as 2 Peter, and this is why they have been confined, because they contaminated the human race before the flood. And but that's a long story, but it's an important story, and if you want to know all about it, I'll let you read my daughter's paper. But I really can't because James has got it at Dallas Seminary right now. He's going through this same thing. Where are we? F. They were created in total in eternity past. G. They have great interest in human babies and human birth. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's especially relevant to young women and young mothers. That angels seem to be attending. I think that angels are attending all the time. They're attending our families all the time. They're attending our church service all the time. By the way, I read something this past week that really was an encouragement to me. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. An old minister worked into the night on a sermon for his small congregation. His unsympathetic wife chided him for spending so much time on a message that so few would appreciate. Man, I can identify with that, Jim. You know, sometimes, I'm sure especially on some nights during the week, like Wednesday night, and I remember this. You know, you work all week and you pour and you pray and you study, and three people show up to benefit from all that you've done and all the work that you've done. But listen to this. She chided him for spending so much of his time, so few people with him. The minister replied, "You forget, my dear, how large my audience really is." And he told her about the angels that the Bible says are attending on the worship. And really, they're attending the worship service for one reason, to watch you ladies. Whoa. Did y'all know that? They're watching the ladies. I mean, I'm sure we're in there somewhere. But they're watching the ladies to see if they are really in submission to their husbands. Man, that wouldn't go over today, would it? I mean, I can just see myself preaching this on a secular campus. I didn't give that verse. I'm saving that verse. Actually, I'm not sure exactly where it is. Maybe somewhere down here in my notes. I know it's in 1 Corinthians, but I'm sure we'll get to it. I hope we will.
I think it's a little bit later on that we'll talk more about that. But we sort out here, they're interested in human babies. Do you remember, of course, how interested they were in the birth of Christ and how they were involved in every aspect of the birth of Christ, sending messages to Joseph and to Mary and speaking to them and telling them what was going to happen and how sad a thing it was going to be for Mary. A sword would pierce her heart, I'm sure, when she saw her son die. That was at one point that sword pierced her heart, but at other times when he was ridiculed and rejected, that seeing her son go through these things must have been a difficult time for her. The angels told her that would be, and of course they warned Joseph that his life would be in danger. They also counseled him to take Mary and not to be afraid, that the child that she was going to have was one up from the Most High. And you remember Samson's mother and father, they were told before Samson was ever born, this is going to be a special baby. He will be a Nazarene. He will never have strong drink. He will never... And they gave her a diet. I think that's interesting if you're pregnant. If you're going to be. They gave her a diet to go on. Yeah. I don't... What was it?
No grapes.
Yeah, no grapes. No wine. Sort of like Daniel. In Daniel, you know, Daniel suggested a diet that he and the... three friends could go on that made them healthy. Anyway, angels came to Zechariah, told him about John the Baptist and what his name would be and so forth and so on. H, they're created perfect, sinless. I, they have personality. Each is an individual, has individual identity. Are y'all following the blanks this time? As I go back to the blanks. Because I already had this on hand, so. The number of angels. How many angels are there? Matthew 18:10 gives us an idea of the number of angels because it indicates that everyone has guardian angels, plural. Now, according to how many billion people are on the earth, there are, what, two times that many guardian angels? I don't know. How many people on there? 6 billion? 12 billion angels? Just guardian angels. Oh, I knew my wife would ask me something like that. I kind of doubt it. But no, I don't think so, because they are sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. I'm sure unbelievers have their angel, but it's not the one we have.
Tommy, yes. Question is, how long the Bill created perfect?
Right.
Places above.
I'll get that from Genesis, where God looked upon His creation and said it was good. And that's a conclusion I would draw from that verse. There was no sin in it.
No sin. Yeah, I was just thinking about the angels that the devil filled with them.
Yeah, well, that was following their creation, of course. They were created perfect.
Right.
And they evidently had volition, and that Satan exalted himself above God and wanted to be worshipped, and pride and those things were the cause of his fall, and that is one of the causes still when we fall. I always say, you know, some people fall out of pride and arrogance. I always tell friends of mine who are in the ministry, how could a preacher ever fall that way? Because every Sunday he has to watch all these people come to church to hear him preach and leave never to return. You know what I mean? I mean, all these visitors come in, you know, you're going to hear my good sermon. They never darken the door again. How could he be proud of his sermon, you know? Especially in a little church like ours, you know, it happens often. Anyway, arrogance and pride is one of the things that causes us to fall. And this is, of course, the original sin of Satan. B, they're referred to as the hosts of heaven. We better hurry, we're going to finish this page. The host of heaven, an army of heaven. There are multitudes, they are unnumbered. They're referred to as thousand thousands, because that's as high as the Greek could go. Thousand thousands are 100 million. Revelation, Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And they're referred to as 1,000 times 10,000, or 100 million, I'm sorry. So, 1 million and 100 million. D is 100 million. C is 1 million. Revelation 5:11 talks about angels. And by the way, the book of Revelation speaks more about angels than any other book in the Bible. Lots of times. E, they're referred to as innumerable. They can't be numbered. They're like the stars of heaven. Except you know something about the stars of heaven? God has them all named.
200 trillion more this week.
Yeah. We're still finding them, and God already has them all named. That's amazing. Hebrews 12:22. They cannot be counted. There are myriads, myriads of angels. And by the way, the angels, not only guardian angels are on our side, but all the host of angels are on the believer's side, for the believer. Organization of angels. There are the archangels. Michael was an archangel. Angels are organized, which is a good argument for you being organized, and your life being organized, and your church being organized. I had some friends come and visit us one time that were members of a particular Christian group called, I don't know if I should say the name of the group. Anyway, one of them looked up into my wife's kitchen cabinets. I said, disorganized. Well, we ought to be organized, but maybe not to the point that we're going to lay it on everyone else. But so, Michael was an archangel. Archangel simply means the highest angel. Daniel 10:13 tells about that. And it says he's one of the archangels. That's the blank on A. One of the chief princes, indicating that there are other archangels. B. Other ranks of angels are given names. They are principalities, powers, authorities. In Ephesians 3:10, maybe you've seen this, principalities and powers. By the way, these names of these different organizations are given both for good angel and bad angels. So the yucky angels are organized, as well as the good angels are organized. The good angels are organized to do God's bidding, and the yucky angels are organized to do the devil's bidding. Somebody read for us Ephesians 3:10. We'll read this one finally. Ephesians 3:10. Anybody get that? Rapid fire.
Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifest wisdom of God.
Okay. So these are groups of angels organized under Satan in a military fashion, principalities and powers, authorities, and those, some people have written books on those. They're both good and bad angels are organized in this way. Finally, angels are primarily concerned with the worship and praise of God, Isaiah 6:1-3, and the seraphim, who have three pairs of wings and are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty." The angel's main function is praise and worship. Well, we've got two more pages here. We'll do them next time. So, if you want pages 3 and 4, you have to come back next Sunday. Yeah. Which is that?
The guardian angels.
Guardian angels. Instead, all angels. Some people do not believe that there are guardian angels. I don't know where they miss it. Instead, they say that all angels are our guardians. And that's okay with me. So, let's pray. And we'll go. Tony, will you dismiss us?
Father, thank you for the study of your created beings and angels. And thank you for giving us your word this morning. And those of us that are still have the curiosity and also maybe the misunderstanding of angels, may you enlighten us and let us dwell into your word and study and fight it. And Father, you give us the truth. And Father, just thank you for these creative beings that are ministering to us and amongst us, and we have that is so comforting to know that you are everywhere through them as well. And Father, just thank you for this moment and this worship time with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you.